Let us begin our worship this evening by singing hymn number 212 to the tune Strasbourg 244. Why does your face, ye humble souls, those mournful colours wear? What doubts are these that try your faith and nourish your despair? What though your numerous sins exceed the stars that fill the skies, and aiming at the eternal throne, like pointed mountains rise? See, here an endless ocean flows of never-failing grace. Behold a dying Saviour's veins, the sacred flood increase. Hymn number 212.
The stars. To read from his holy word, the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In the context, I'll read the second chapter from verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, O do teach us to pray. Engage these roving, treacherous hearts of ours. Save us from the working of the flesh. Lord, grant us the blessed fruit of the Spirit. Grant us the fruits, Lord Jesus, of thy sin-atoning sacrifice even now. A broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou art not despised. Oh, we pray for it. Oh, do make us truly broken-hearted sinners here this evening. Rend this hard marble of our hearts. Soften us. Make these dry eyes a sluice. O Lord, fulfill thy promise. They shall look on me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him. O Lord, this is entirely thy gift. This is entirely a spiritual thing. The flesh cannot enter into it. Lord, we cannot of ourselves lay hold of it. We are dependent upon thee, Lord, to give it. But hast thou not said, ask and it shall be given thee. Oh, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do help us to open our mouths wide. Lord, oh, we ask, Lord, for a blessing indeed. Lord, the felt sense of thy gracious saving presence. Lord, the unfolding of the scriptures to us, the application of the word to us, to hear thy voice, to know thee, Lord. Oh, to know what we've sung, that grace to rise high. Oh, Lord, grant, we pray, that the blessed river of thy grace may flow into our hearts this night. And when we search to find our sins, our sins can ne'er be found. O Lord, forgive each one, we pray. We don't know everyone, but thou dost. O cleanse us from secret faults. Lord, thou dost make us to know some of them. And Lord, since we can hardly bear what we see then, how foul and black we must appear, most holy God, to thee. The pride of our hearts, Lord, the hatred, the enmity, the lust, the covetousness, the worldliness, the unbelief, the deceit, Lord, the continual failure to keep thy law, to serve thee as we ought. Lord, oh, were it not, Lord Jesus, that thou art the Son of God, and that thou, as the Son of God, didst take our nature into union with him, with thyself, and didst die, having fulfilled in thy life thy law. Lord, if it were not for this truth, there would be no hope. But Lord, since thy offering is so great, so infinitely great, since thy obedience is so infinitely great, since thy righteousness is beyond anything we can comprehend, Lord, we would put in our plea that thy blood sufficient prove to wash my sins away. And grant, Lord, that faith by which we should know that blessed righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed unto us by the Father. Lord, we pray too for thy sanctification. Lord, thou didst say to thy Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We pray, even concerning us, hear that prayer of thy dear sons, Almighty God, and grant us even here this evening and in our lives day by day the answer to that prayer once prayed on earth. Through that blood which thy dear Son has entered heaven with. Lord, sanctify us. Set us apart for the service of God. Lord, grant thy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, help us. We pray for this people. Lord, thou knowest those that are thine. Bless them, help them, hear their petitions, uttered or unexpressed. Hear the groaning of the prisoner. Lord, regard the upward glancing of the eye, the sighing of the oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy. Do arise, we pray, and set them in safety from him that puffeth at them. Lord, help them on. Lead them on. Hold their right hand, saying unto them, fear not, I will help thee. O Lord, we pray for thy glory to be manifest in them, as Christ is manifest in them. Oh, may it be so. Oh, Lord, we pray. Oh, form this people for thyself. They shall show forth thy praise. Let it say to Israel of old, fear thou not. I've created thee, O Jacob, I've formed thee, O Israel. Lord, we pray, form us. O Lord, complete the work thou hast begun. Begin it where it is not begun. Form us, Lord. Vessels unto honour and not unto dishonour. Vessels in which thou put the treasure and increase the measure of the putting in of that treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant this evening the outpouring of thy Spirit upon speaker and hearers. Lord, that our gathering together may be a divine appointment for good. Lord, a set time. Grant us a Bethel experience. The Lord is in this place. The house of God, the very gate of heaven. We're unworthy, Lord, we confess. But we would come pleading the name of Jesus, the worthy Lamb. Lord, help in the afflictions, trials and tribulations that continually comprise the lot of thy people. According to thy word, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Grant that peace through thy word, Lord Jesus. Lord, uphold, sanctify affliction. By these things may we live, and in all these things may the life of our spirit be. Grant thy healing mercy where it is thy will. Bless means used to this end. We pray in this way for thy servant, the pastor here. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst mercifully help him. And grant, Lord, that deliverance in thine own time and in thine own way. From this affliction that thou hast laid upon him. O Lord, teach him by it, bless him in it. O Lord, may fresh matter be given for his own soul and for the pulpit. Strengthen and help him in this time of weakness. And others of thy servants, Lord, likewise, bearing afflictions in their bodies. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst use these things to the good of their own souls and the good of Zion. And we do pray for Zion. Lord, do help us truly to do as the hymn writer said, my soul shall pray for Zion still. Lord, in our closet, thy servant Ezra of old, when he heard of that solemn matter, the sins of Israel, how in secret he wept before thee, sat astounded, plucked off the hair of his beard and his head, and clothed him in sackcloth and ashes. And then at the time of the evening sacrifice, poured out his grief to thee, made confession and made supplication. Lord, grant it to Zion. Lord, grant that personal, individual leading of thy Spirit. Bless thy mothers in Israel, and thy fathers in Israel. Those, Lord, that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the midst. Lord, bless, we pray, the preaching of thy word. Enable those whom thou hast anointed and sent forth to declare the whole counsel of God. In the sight of God, in the fear of God, save from the fear of man. Grant, Lord, we pray, that holy boldness, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, grant, Lord, that faithfulness, we pray, as it was given to Paul, whom we preach, teaching every man, warning every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Lord, who bless the families. Lord, save according to thy holy will, we pray. Grant grace in these solemn times. Keep from falling. Recover the fallen. Bring back, Lord, those that have gone off into a far country. Lord, we pray. Give a love to thee and to thy word, to those who hate thee and thy word and hate thy people. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst turn rebels round. Lord, we each prove we've got a rebellious heart still. Turn us from all our rebellion, all our stiff-neckedness, from all our self-righteousness and all our formality. Lord, all that living off system water, there is no life by it. It only feeds the flesh. Lord, we pray. Oh, have mercy. Restore, we pray, according to thy will. I'll restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, my great army which I sent among you. Lord, give true repentance. Turn us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We thank thee for all thy mercy, a great goodness to us. Oh, thy mercies are countless as the sands. Every breath we draw, every beat of our heart, every crumb of food, every drop of water, every moment's care. Lord, the blessings of the providence that we have granted unto us. We thank thee for the liberty we yet enjoy, and beg, Lord, for the preserving of it if it can please thee. We thank thee for thy word and for thy house. Oh, above all else, we thank thee for thy Son. Now do help us. Lord, save us from ourselves. Leave one not to beat the air, and the exercise of the flesh. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Oh, we pray, Lord, work in us that spiritual exercise in preaching and in hearing, that godliness which is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, of that which is to come. Lord, we pray, prepare us for our end here below. Lord, that we may be favoured by thy grace alone to enter into heaven when called from this earth. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 249 to the tune Pembroke 719. O love divine, how sweet thou art! When shall I find my willing heart all taken up by thee? I thirst and faint and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. Hymn number 249.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter that we read, the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3. Verses 17, 18, and 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's particularly the 19th verse that has, I trust, been given me by the Lord to bring to you this evening. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This was the Apostle Paul's prayer unto his Heavenly Father for this church that he wrote to, and indeed when he expresses it for the church at Ephesus, surely it is his desire for the church of God wherever it is. He says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, and then that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell remain. And truly, where the Lord once takes up his abode, he never finally departs. But surely what the apostle desires, and what is the desire of every truly exercised child of God, is that there might be that fruitful, manifest dwelling of Christ in our hearts. That abiding that he speaks of in John 15. Abide in me. And then he explains how. How a sinner abides in him, and I in you. For only in that way is there fruitfulness. Only in that way is the will of God concerning his church fulfilled. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. And there is no sanctification but by the Holy Spirit inspiring faith in Jesus Christ. And when he does so, Christ is in the heart, not in the head. How may you know whether Christ is in your head or in your heart? By the effects. Christ in the head will never soften your heart. Christ in the head will never conquer sin. Christ in the head will never cause you to love him. Christ in the head will never cause you to leave all for him. You know what the Lord Jesus told that young man who came saying, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The thing that Jesus said to him, which he lacked, go, sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and come follow me. That was an hard thing, you know. That was an impossible thing. And that's why that young man went away sad. He went away. He went away from Christ. He didn't follow Christ. Neither will you, unless Christ call you with that especial, gracious, powerful call of his love. You know, however hard a thing it is that the Lord tells his people to do, if he give them the grace and the love to do it, they will do it. How did those martyrs go to the stake? How does every sinner, and they must, if they are going to heaven, they must forsake all and follow Christ. How do they do it? Christ dwelling in their heart by faith. By faith. believing. The record that God has given of his dear son. The apostle emphasizes in his ministry revelation. What does he mean by that? He means the Spirit inspiring faith. In him of whom the written word speaks. John says they have not believed the record that God gave of his son. Those of you that have had a revelation of Christ, it hasn't been something additional to Scripture. It cannot be. It cannot be. For the Scripture is the only and the whole revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But what we need is the eye of faith to see him. But not only to see him, that eye of faith causes a sinner to trust. To trust. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, what an unspeakable mercy, what an unfathomable condescension it is that Christ, the eternal Son of God, should dwell in a sinner's heart. You know, this condescension was set forth by him coming and dwelling in our nature, and he still has that nature now. What matchless condescension that the infinite, the eternal Son of God should come and take our nature without sin. The manner in which he took our nature, elevated it to a position it had never been in before. But it is still our nature. It is still the nature of man. But holy. Not only did he not sin, he could not sin. That's higher than Adam in his created form. The child of God. The Lord enabled me to show, if he spared me, to come to the end of this short period in the house of God this evening, to show you from his word that that is the fullness that the text speaks of. That is, that each one of his people shall have given them one day that same nature. A body like his. Thereby our body changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. It is love, the love of God that causes Christ to come and dwell in sinners' hearts. He is commanded by his Father to do so. This bride that his Father has given him. Oh, how he loves that bride. He loved her in his eternal mind before she had any being. He loved her when she was dead in trespasses and sins. And he loves her through every changing scene here below. He loved Peter as much when he was cursing as when he was saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, of course, Paul is writing to those who had already known something of this. For he's writing to those of whom he describes in the previous chapter, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that quickening is by Christ dwelling in the heart. What he is praying for here then is an increase of it. An increase of it. There are degrees of faith. There are degrees of knowledge. There are degrees of the manifestation, the possession of the blessing of God in Christ. There are the babes in the church. There are the children. There are the young men. There are the fathers. Think of that word that was spoken concerning Job. It was spoken to him. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, as a shock of corn cometh in his season. We've seen some of these shocks of corn come in their season, haven't we? It may not have been old men or old women with regard to years. Thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. And what is it? It's this, Christ dwelling in the heart by faith. It's that that gives that blessed rooting and grounding that the text speaks of. Stability. Oh, you know, when a child of God is a newborn babe, there isn't the same stability. They are as safe as any, but not the same stability. It is through days, weeks, months, years, whatever it may be, in the Lord's purpose. I daren't say it is through years, because the Lord is able to do it in days. He's able to do it in years. He did it in the thief. To know more of Christ. To be more established in the truth as it is in him. And this is only through the blessed leading of the Spirit. Of course it is through the experience that the Lord leads us in. By these things, said Hezekiah, men live. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, said the psalmist, that I might learn thy statutes. My mind goes to Newton's hymn where he asked to grow in grace and love. And he says, the Lord answered his prayer, but in such a way as almost drove me to despair. My dear friend, the apostle here for the Lord's people is not praying for a comfortable path for their flesh. You cannot have what the apostle is desiring for his, praying for his church here, and have a comfortable path for your flesh. You may think, my dear friend, and why do I say this? Because I'm just the same as you by nature. You may think that you can get round things. And you won't have to go into such troubles as some do. My dear friend, the blessed path is not a path without trouble. Because that is the path without Christ. The blessed path is the path of sanctified trouble. Christ drawing near to us in our troubles. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. My dear friend, we've got idols in our hearts. for Christ to dwell in our hearts, then there's some turning out work to do. And how is the turning out work done? Yes, in it there is that overturning and that overturning. In it there is that proving to us by the Lord's judgments, by his afflictions, by the troubles he lays upon us, proving to us that our idols are what they are, idols. Gods that can do us no good, gods that cannot comfort our soul, gods that cannot speak pardon to us, gods that cannot give us real happiness. But the thing that really turns an idol out is Christ dwelling in the heart. When he dwells in your heart in this increased measure that the apostle is desiring in his prayer here, there's no room for idols. Berridge says, doesn't he? Soon as faith, my Lord can see, hanging on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. Though ye being rooted and grounded, founded in love. So the apostle here declares the sure proof of Christ dwelling in our heart by faith, love. You cannot believe on Christ in your heart and not love him. Why? He is the very essence of love. He is, as a spouse declared when she was asked about him, altogether lovely. There's nothing unlovely about him. But it's only faith that sees that. Sense doesn't see anything lovely in Christ. Faith sees everything lovely in him. Because he is altogether lovely. In his holiness he is lovely. Why? For that holiness, through his redeeming work, is his people's holiness. In his sufferings, the loveliness. In his resurrection, the loveliness. In his compassion, the loveliness. In his rebukes, the loveliness. In his corrections, the loveliness. In his chastenings. In his precepts, the loveliness. And that love creates love. John said, we love him because he first loved us. And how is that love manifested? Obedience. That's what love does. That's what the love of God in Christ does. It makes the believer obedient. Obedient to what? Christ says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, the power of thy love, the power of thy love. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace, causing them to hear his call and before his feet to fall. To be taken with Christ. You have to do with the things of this world. Christ in his prayer to his Father, he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the evil, that is from this world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. All that love, it cures the love of the world. that love. Why? What a foundation it is. It is the foundation of all that God does for his people. 'Twas in love he chose them in his Son. 'Twas in love he sent his Son up from everlasting. 'Twas in love he sent his Son for them. In love his Son came. In love the Spirit formed for his Son that sacred holy humanity. In love the Spirit quickens each one. In love the Spirit convinces each one of sin. In love the Spirit indicts prayer. And in love the Spirit reveals Christ. Is there a sinner here tonight? And your question is, how can God save me? The answer is love. Love. Unconditional love. Ruth Bryan, as she wrote to that young woman on her wedding day, she speaks of the heavenly bridegroom and says, his love to his bride was first. She had no love to him. He did not love her because she loved him. She had no beauty, he gives her his beauty. She had no love, he gives her his love. You see, love is an unconditional thing. We do not love someone because they do this or that or the other to us. We love them because we do love them. It can't be explained even in a natural sense, can it? It can't be explained in a spiritual sense. Because he would love. And my dear friend, when we read in the Word of God of the characters God loves, why does he record those details? Why does he record what unlovable people they were with regard to any natural attractiveness or godliness? Why? To magnify his glory in them. And, my dear friend, this evening, in the Word of God, is set forth that ground of hope for a poor sinner here tonight who cannot see how they can be saved. The love of God. Nothing to do with works. Nothing to do with merit. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see, this is how the Lord's people do become rooted and grounded in love. Through Christ giving them the love to root and ground them. Oh, my dear friend, when through the pathway the Lord leads you, child of God, and through the depths he causes you to come into, and through all your sinful departures, through all your failings, your backslidings, your departings, Christ brings you back to himself. And once again demonstrates his love to you. Once again speaks in love to you. The Spirit once again reveals him in your heart. The Spirit once again causes faith to bubble up. Spring up. And you become more rooted and grounded in love. That is, love, as it is more and more made known to you and bestowed upon you, it becomes in your soul's experience the foundation of your hope, the foundation of your confidence, rooted and grounded in love. And of course, as the Word of God declares, John in his epistle, he says, this is his commandment. Not only that we love God, but that we love one another. Oh, that sinner that has fallen, that has been through trying things and has proved, God has proved to them what a base sinner they are. Shocked them by what they've done. Shocked them by showing them just how bad they are. And yet he still manifests his love toward them in correction. And then in healing and in restoration, not forsaking them. You see, it changes the way we deal with people. Be ye merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful. When is the child of God most loving to his fellow men? When he is most experiencing the love of Christ? When his heart is hard toward Christ, his heart is hard toward men. Of course, it may not appear hard. You know, the hardness of man's heart can appear in what appears like softness. We're speaking of a spiritual softness, not a natural softness. We're speaking of the softness of Christ, not the softness of sinners. Ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. That word comprehend doesn't mean fully understand, fully have the full measure of it. No, it doesn't mean that. In the original language, which is translated into our language, comprehend. That word in the original language speaks of laying hold of. Discerning. Perceiving. Especially in a way of blessedly having it discovered to us that this love of Christ, this love of God, is toward us. That's above all else what the word comprehend means. To know God loves me. That is a great point, isn't it? That is the important point. To know God loves me. I thought in coming here this evening, of a day over 25 years ago when I laid in hospital, waiting for an operation of the Lord. Oh, as I was waiting for it, I believe he gave me something of that which he gave to Jacob at the brook Jabbok. He came and wrestled with me and caused me to wrestle with him. And just before I went under the anaesthetic, he said to me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Comprehending, laying hold of, knowing that love is toward me, may comprehend with all saints, those people, my dear friend, the you seekers, really feel are your people as regards desire. With them numbered may I be. Like Ruth, thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. But what did Naomi say to Ruth? My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred. And my dear friends, I am a deceiver if this is not my desire in preaching to you this evening. May I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? And now is not Christ of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Anoint thyself therefore, get thee down. She came softly and uncovered his feet, lay down at his feet. And when he awoke, told him who she was, and put in her request, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Only through the near kinsman can God love sinners. That is where his love is manifested. That is where the love flows. Joseph Hart, in that beautiful hymn, he says, O ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies out of Christ. Almighty power can do nothing but devour. Worship God then in his Son. There his love and there alone. Think not that he will or may pardon your sin any other way. But to comprehend with all saints. Oh, when Boaz did what he said he would do. Redeemed those lands and took her to be his wife. Ruth could then comprehend with all saints. She had gone and asked for the love of Boaz. And the sinner that goes and asks for the love of Christ already has it. That's the mystery of grace. That's how it always is. The sinner that asks for grace has already got it. Grace for grace. But you see, there's one thing to be loved of God and another to know he loves us. How then does Christ dwell in our hearts? By faith, by speaking into our hearts. And when he speaks into our hearts, his words are words of sweet smelling myrrh. They're words of love. The spouse says, doesn't she? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Every word from Jesus to your soul is a kiss. The kiss of his mouth. There's love in every word that he speaks. When that word is not a general word, but a word to you. My beloved spake and said unto me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lo, the winter is over and gone. The rain is over and gone. The winter is past. The time of the singing of birds is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. May be able to comprehend, lay hold of, know, in some measure at least, with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that the Lord's people are able to fathom or measure the love of Christ. We sung in that hymn this evening, God only knows the love of God. It must be so, mustn't it? It's an infinite thing. It's a boundless thing.
It's an eternal thing. What that love has done. What that love bears with. Oh, how greatly God loves his people. No one can describe it. No one can comprehend it in the sense that they can measure it, the length and breadth and depth and height. But my dear friend, what then does this text mean? It means this. When Christ comes and dwells in your heart, he does so, proving that he and his love is sufficient to save you from all the lengths you've gone to in sin, from all the height of the sin, from all the depths of the depravity of your nature, from all the depths of the ruin of the fall and all the depths of your own fallings. And because he formed in your heart and his love shed abroad in that way covers everything. You know the breadth. That love, because it is the love of God in Christ, it does cover everything. There's nothing that isn't covered by that love. There's no part of your salvation, child of God, that isn't done in love. There's no part of your soul's redemption that isn't accomplished by the blood that was shed. As in love, the Saviour went to God. That repentance that is given, love provides it. That faith that you believe with, love provides it. That pardon, love provides it. Everything. The breadth. And to know the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ. Which passeth knowledge. What does this set forth then? That this knowing of the love of Christ is something which ordinary knowledge cannot give. When it says passeth knowledge, the first thing I would speak of is this. The love of Christ cannot possibly be known through the knowledge that man has by nature. Man by nature, and you and me including, we can know about the love of God. We can know about the love of Christ. Oh, we can describe it perhaps in theory. And say how that love moved him to come and how that love moved him to do all that he did and that love moved him to die. But that's not knowing that love. That passeth knowledge. This is why Paul is praying for it. And this is why, if the Lord is going to grant you and me this, he will cause us to pray for it. Because it is the gift of God. How is it known? The Spirit makes it known. When he is come, said Christ, he should take of mine. And included in that, of course, is he should take of my love and just show it unto you. When he shows the loving Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood,
when he shows him in the judgment hall, suffering himself to be spat upon. My dear friends, if he were not the Father's servant, who was utterly and completely obedient to his Father's will, he could have, with one nod, slain all those men that were spitting upon him. But because he was his Father's servant, who was redeeming his bride, he couldn't do that. He must submit to that humiliation. He must submit to that spitting. And further than that, he must submit to bearing that cross to Calvary. Led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Those words he uttered on the cross. My dear friend, there wasn't a word of hatred in them. There was never any sufferings like his sufferings. But not a word of hatred. Words of love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His words to his mother Mary and John. A woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother, he says to John. And oh, what he suffered because of his love. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? To know the love of Christ. You see, it doesn't matter how I speak these words to you. You won't know the love of Christ through how I phrase them, how pathetically I may speak to you of the sufferings of Christ. It's the sovereign gift of the Holy Spirit. In a moment he can do it, and the love of Christ is felt. Christ himself in the Song of Solomon. The spouse says her beloved stood outside her door and said to her, open to me, my love, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. And she said to him, I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I washed my feet, how shall I defile them? I don't want thee, Lord. Do you never say that? But if he's your beloved, has he ever done? He must have done it, or he will. My beloved put in his hand by the holy door is not going to be put off by his bride not wanting him, because he wants her. That is the secret of salvation. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a people that inquired not after me. My dear friend, if the Lord wants you not more than you want him, you'll never be saved. We love him because he first loved us. But you see, that putting in of his hand by the hole of the door, what does it speak of? The application, the power. The power. Oh, is there one here tonight in your this point? Oh, I hear the gospel preached. I read the word of God. But I get no further than that. It takes no effect upon me.
Well, is that a grief to you? You say, sometimes it is. That's the love of Christ. The love of Christ is known in every giving of grace. The love of Christ is known in chastisement. The love of Christ is known in wounding. The love of Christ is known in smiting, reproofs. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. The love of Christ is known in every drawing to him. The least movement Christward is the love of Christ working. To know the love of Christ, when your heart really prays, is the love of Christ that has caused it, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, causing your heart to pray. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And now this is another way the love of Christ is known. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. To know the love of Christ, for him to actually speak to us. To know the love of Christ. Oh, but then to know that love of Christ in those loving answers. Ah, when that love, in that love, Christ answers your prayer. And you know when he does it, he'll make you to realize it's in his love he's done it. He hasn't done it because you prayed so well. He's done it because he loves you. Oh, sometimes he allows the exercise, the fervent exercise of prayer to drop off. So that when the answer comes, this is a very proof of it. And to know the love of Christ. What does it do? It warms the heart. It quickens the soul. Did not our heart burn within us? It unites the Lord's people. Sometimes that word of those two on the Emmaus Road is misquoted, you know. Sometimes it's been said, did not our hearts burn within us? But it doesn't say that. Did not our heart? Christ's preaching concern, preaching himself to those two, gave them one heart to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Oh, came to me earlier today, strange really. Trust it is truly the Holy Spirit. What David said of Jonathan, when he mourned Jonathan, he said, thy love was great, greater than the love of women. You see, David and Jonathan were united in the love of Christ. So it wasn't Jonathan's love that was greater than the love of women, it was the love of Christ. And it is greater. Husbands are to love their wives, but my dear friend, if Christ is yours, he makes you love him more than your wife, and the wife too. Which passeth knowledge.
That love of Christ that makes us obedient. That love of Christ that slays us to this world and its things. Our affections are set on things above. Oh, is there one here this evening? And you say, how do I get my affections set on things above? Well, you can't do it. The Lord help you to ask Christ to do it. He can do it. Oh, he can do, and he does do, that which is impossible with us. And whatever it be tonight, my dear friend, the truth is this, you and I can do nothing. But the truth is this, Christ can do everything. And he delights to do everything. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That ye might be filled. The apostles' words inspired by the Holy Spirit should search us. In this day when things are at such a low ebb in the Church of God, oh, that we might have such a blessed outpouring of the Spirit upon us, that this word might be fulfilled, filled with all the fullness of God. This speaks of the coming to the stature of a man in Christ. By the fullness of God is surely meant the accomplishment in us by God of the fullness of his purpose. His purpose is that his people shall love him. His purpose is that his people shall serve him. His purpose is that his people shall enjoy him. His purpose is that they shall live under his shadow, live upon him. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, this prayer goes right to the day when the Lord's people will be in heaven with God, filled with all the fullness of God. In one text, I might not be able to quote it exactly, but it speaks of the church as the body, being the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the church of God is the fullness of God. That cannot be. For God is today as he ever was. But I believe what he does mean is this, that the fullness of God is put forth, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his redeeming purpose in Christ, the fullness of
that righteousness which his Son wrought out, the fullness of that atonement which he secured, that redemption, the fullness of God is all manifest in the body, in the church of God. That God should have this body, this church. That God should have you, child of God, a member of that body. And that God will raise your dust from the earth and form it as the body of his dear Son. Change it if you be alive on the earth when he comes a second time. That requires the fullness of God. His fullness was not manifest in creation. His fullness is not manifest in providence. His fullness is manifest in that grace. And when will that grace be fully manifest? When his people are with him, like unto his Son, filled with all the fullness of God. Just one thought here. The triune God. You see, when Christ is formed in the heart, his Father is formed there too. And the Holy Ghost is there too. You know, Christ never comes alone. The Holy Ghost reveals him. He is in the heart. And Christ said to Philip, didn't he? He that has seen me has seen the Father. 'Tis through Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, it is through him that a poor sinner is given the spirit of adoption. Isn't that the fullness of God, that a sinner should be manifest as a son of God, filled with all the fullness of God? Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 1118 to the tune Ebenezer Chapel 638. What is love? My soul would answer, not deserves the endearing name, but the God of love, the Saviour, whose dear heart's a constant flame. Hear his groans till he expiring cries triumphant, it is done, bearing all the wrathful anger which to us was due alone. What is love? My soul would echo with the saints in heaven above, who through Jesus gone to glory sing in concert, this is love. Hymn 1118. Dear.
For thy word, do bless it to us. Lord, help us to pray for ourselves and for each other, as the apostle did. Forgive all our sin amiss. Grant us each safe journeys. Thy presence, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.